Always remember this. You'll be able to overcome anything in your life, absolutely anything. There's only one thing you cannot rise above, and that's the quality of your thinking. If you don't think you can, that's why you ain't. I'll never have a good job. That's why you don't. My family will never get out of this pit. That's why they ain't. And that's why the Bible says, put on the mind of Christ. He's not a victim. He's a victor. Even though people were trying to crucify him, he saw beyond that, and he saw the redemption of you and me.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Have you ever had a dream and you're just sure it was placed in your heart by God himself? But circumstances arise and your dream is shattered. It may all seem so unfair. Well, today, if we take a look at Joseph, a man whose dream landed him in jail, doesn't get more unfair than that. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Joseph, Outlasting Unfair Circumstances.
Let's read together. It's in your notes, and it'll come up on the board as well. And this is out of Genesis 37, where the story of Joseph begins. Would you read it with me? Go. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. And while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream. Interesting. As soon as God gave Joseph a glimmer of his destination or his destiny, he promptly went out and let everyone know who was in charge now. Well, he thought his brothers should at least throw him a party. And instead, they threw him, all right. They threw him into a pit. And there they would let him rot and die. There was bad blood in that family, let me say. Well, a couple of days later, a traveling caravan was going southward. And they thought, well, why not sell him and make some money? So now, not only is Joseph a victim of bad blood, he now becomes a victim of the brothers' greed. He's sold to these slave traders going south. They put an iron collar around his neck and shackles to his ankles. And there he has to march southward all the way to Egypt. Then when he gets to Egypt, a man named Potiphar, who was the head of the Pharaoh's security team, buys him as a slave. Puts him in charge of his house as a boy slave. He's only 17 years old. And he is to take care of the household chores. So that was Potiphar's design for him. But Mrs. Potiphar had different ideas. Because it wouldn't be long before this handsome young man would be seen by her. And then along came Mrs. Potiphar. But when he refused to comply, she got bitter and angry and then framed him, lied about him, and now he's a victim of her lies. He gets thrown into a prison, 10-year sentence for being innocent. Now he's in prison, and there the warden sees that he's trustworthy and dependable and lets him start to lead the other prisoners. Well, one night, his cellmate, who was the cupbearer for the king, or we can call him a butler, who is also in prison, has a dream. And he said to Joseph, "Joseph, do you know what this dream means?" Joseph said, "Yes, I do. And it's God speaking to you." So tell me what it is. He said, "Well, sure. God is saying that in 3 days you're going to be released and you're going to be restored to your former position." "No way." "That's right. And by the way, I'll ask only one thing," said Joseph. "What's that?" "If it does come to pass, you'll know that God is true and you'll speak favorably on my behalf to Pharaoh because I'm here unjustly." "No, you bet." No problem, dude. I'm going to do it if it comes to pass. Well, 3 days later, he gets released, and he's restored to his first position, his position as a cupbearer. Only problem, he forgot to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. So now, 2 more years, he stays in prison. One night, Pharaoh himself has a very disturbing dream about 7 fat cows by the river, and then 7 sleek, skinny cows come, eats them up. He can't figure this out. He called all of his conjurers and counselors. They couldn't figure it out either. Well, the cupbearer, remember his cellmate, overheard this dream, and he was asking the counselors. He goes, excuse me, Pharaoh, I know a guy that interprets dreams. His name is Joseph. Oh, thanks, cupbearer. Better late than never, I guess. Only 2 years late. But I'll get him. Pharaoh says, get him. They get Joseph out of prison, bring him to Pharaoh, and he says, this is from God. Pharaoh, what's going to happen is there's going to be 7 years of abundance and fruitfulness. And then it's going to be followed immediately by a grand and great famine that this world has never seen. And it'll last for 7 more years. And what you'll need to do is take 20% of the fruitfulness and store it. Freeze dry the stuff, whatever. And let's build storehouses because you're going to need it for 7 years. And it's going to ransack and rampage the land all the way up to Israel. Well, when he's done, Pharaoh thought, man, this guy is amazing. I'm going to put him in charge of this whole thing. Now, you got to remember, all of this is happening, and it's how many years since he was thrown into the pit? Well, he's going to be appointed as the number 2 man to oversee all of the storehouses in Egypt. And from that moment, there's going to be a plan of Israel coming into Egypt during the famine. And Joseph is going to keep his own people alive. God knew what was about to happen. He knew the famine was coming. And he had chosen Joseph to be the one who would save Israel from starvation. All of that happened. But how long did it take for Joseph to develop all of those character qualities to the point where he becomes second only to Pharaoh himself? You know how long that was? 13 years. 13 years since he got the promise to it being fulfilled in the fullness of time. 13 years. Here's 2 things about God you need to know. You ready? Number 1, God never seems to be in a hurry. You ever notice that? Yeah. Unlike us. But here's the cool thing. Number 2, when God gives you a promise, here's the neat thing. The promises of God have no expiration date. 13 years. But God was refining Joseph because there were certain things that would come about in the fullness of time that he would need to have in place. Character, patience, insight, wisdom, the ability to discern right from wrong, organizational skills, business acuity. All of those things God had to impart to Joseph. He say, well, what about the prison situation? That was so unjust. He lost his welfare. He lost his family. Listen, God is all wise, and God factors all of these things into his plan. He knew it way in advance, and he factored in all of the sins of man, all the sins and mistakes of his brothers, even Joseph's own impetuous blurting to his brothers about who is now in charge when he was 17 years old. God factored all of that into his plan. Some people say, but you don't know my boss, and you don't know what happened in my family, and you don't know the abuse. That's why I'm like I am. That's why I can't do much. That's why I don't have any motivation. I say, stop. You mean to tell me that person's sin is more powerful than God? Because if you tell me that person can thwart the plan of God in your life, he must be more powerful than God himself. And I don't think so. God is bigger. God is more powerful. And you have to stay with that. Otherwise, you're going to give sounds funny, but you're going to give lordship over to that person that abused you, that messed you up, that did something negative to you. Because you see, who's Lord in your life is the one that's going to determine whether your day is a success or not, whether your countenance is up or down, whether you're going to smile or frown. Who's Lord in your life is who's the one who's determining your future. And if you let that person in your past determine your future, you've just made him God. And that's why one of the greatest scriptures in the Old Testament is Deuteronomy 6, when God says, "Hear, O Israel, there's only one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you'll have no other gods before me." What was he saying? Don't get a victim mentality, because you're going to go through unfair circumstances, but make sure that God is God. There is no other. Can you say amen to that? Oh, Joseph had to fight that mentality. Oh, I think every day he had to fight those voices, because I tell you, every time you suffer loss, there's going to be a voice constantly telling you you're a victim. That's why you can't do this. That's why you'll never amount to much. You're a loser. You lost this. You messed up here. You're no good. You're disadvantaged. You've been shortchanged, and you've got to work against that. But here's the cool thing. I want you to see how God's so wise. When he gave a glimmer of the destiny to Joseph when he was 17, he wanted Joseph not to be a ruler in Israel, even though he was a ruler in Israel. Where would he be a ruler? In Egypt. So God, in all of his wisdom, had to not only refine Joseph, which would come through unfair circumstances, but he had to get him to Egypt. So when his brothers, bad blood, threw him in a cistern or into a pit, that was a step towards him fulfilling the destiny that God had for him. Because right after that, a traveling group of slave traders come by. They're going to Egypt. They sell Joseph to this slave trader, and Joseph has a free room and board trip to Egypt. It's all a part of God's plan. When he gets to Egypt, he gets sold again as a slave. Now, we get mad because slavery is so bad. No, wait a minute. God's bigger. Remember, for 13 years, Joseph had to say again and again, when that thought came into his mind, "You're a slave." "Yeah, but God is bigger than that." "You've got a collar around your neck, but God is bigger than that. This will change. This is only for the journey." "Yeah, but you're a loser. Look what your brothers did." "Yeah, but God's bigger than my brothers. God's bigger than that cistern. God's bigger than that pit. God's bigger than the slave trader." He gets into Egypt and he's sold to Potiphar as a slave. And then he gets thrown into prison. Another step closer to God's plan being fulfilled. Joseph ends up in prison. And then that cupbearer asks him about a dream. He interprets the dream. Another step closer. Why? Because God's going to give Pharaoh a dream. God knows the end from the beginning. And when Pharaoh has a dream, guess who's next to him to tell him who can interpret? The guy that was in prison. You see, another step. Step by step. And all the while, Joseph is overcoming bitterness. He's overcoming the disenchantment of what he could have gotten. A down countenance, a bad attitude, vengeance. "I've got to avenge myself. I hate people. That's why I am like I am." He could have let all the unfair circumstances destroy what God wanted him to become, but he refused to do so. He dealt with every voice in his head. Even his own mistake. "I shouldn't have said that to my brother, but God's bigger. People did me wrong, but wait a minute, God's bigger than that. There's some setbacks, but who's bigger? God is bigger." Turn to your neighbor and say, "God is bigger." Go ahead. Just say, "God is bigger." "There's past abuses, my father's sins. That's the way I was raised. But God's bigger still." So when Pharaoh has a dream, watch this. When Pharaoh has a dream, cupbearer says, "I know someone that'll interpret it for you." "Who's that?" "Oh, it's a guy in prison." "What? Yeah, that's where I was." "Yeah, he's good." "Really? Go get him." Joseph comes and says, let me tell you what your dream is all about. And that's when Pharaoh says, "You know, I need to hire this guy. I'm going to have him champion this whole thing. And you know, before Pharaoh hires him and gets him out of prison, he's going to check his references. So he calls up the warden of the prison where Joseph had been locked up for 10 years. Hey, what kind of guy is this Joseph? Oh, man, we'd hate to lose him, Your Honor, whatever they called pharaohs in those days, Your Majesty, Your whatever. We'd hate to lose him. What? You would? Oh, yeah. This guy's a leader. He's honest. He's trustworthy. He has developed people skills. All the people in the prison respect him. In fact, he basically runs my prison. No way. Yeah, this guy is the best we've ever seen. There's no one like him. And he loves God, and God has blessed him everywhere he turns. Whoa, says Pharaoh, get that guy. I want him. He is promoted to the second highest ranking official in the land. When famine hits, it extends all the way up through Israel. It would be one day that his own brothers would come down looking for food. And it is then when he would reveal himself. And then they'd realize that was your destiny, wasn't it? We didn't know. But you see, all the while, even though God spoke to him a glimmer of a promise, he had so much work to do, didn't he? And every bit of that character and the depth and the wisdom and the stewardship and the trustworthiness would be built under unfair circumstances. Because those are the best teachers. What if Joseph would have gotten bitter in prison? What if he would have said, I hate this? What if he had gotten dejected? What if he had gotten a bad attitude and a bitter spirit? He could have delayed the promise of God. Oh yeah, listen carefully. God's promises never fail, but we can fail God's promises. By rejecting the promise. You see, the Messiah, in Galatians chapter 4, it says this, in the fullness of time, God sent his son to bring redemption. So in the fullness of time, he said, by the way, the Messiah is going to come. And he prophesied this through the prophets to the people of Israel 400 years before. God gave them 400 years to prepare. And did they? Now they failed the promise. They became legalistic. They became immoral. They stopped thanking God or even thinking of God. And they began to use spiritual things for their own aggrandizement so that when the Messiah did come in the fullness of time, all of Israel had no hearts prepared. Oh, we can fail the promise of God. And I want to encourage you that when God gives you a glimmer of a promise, let him build you. Let him begin to refine you as he would silver. It will happen. Don't blame circumstances, even though they're unfair. Well, let me tell you, the biggest pushback I get when I talk to people, it's like, well, you don't know my background. You don't know the abuse that I got. My father was an absentee father. My answer to that is, that's nothing new. Nothing new. Did you know that the people of Israel all came from bad backgrounds? And God would, after 430 years, deliver them out of Egypt. But you know what happened during those? By the way, 430 years, they were slaves. They had to work for their masters. Just like in the United States, the slavery that was taking place here in the past, that was just a few years. Over there, 430 years. That's twice as long as America has been in existence. That's how long they were slaves. They had hand-me-downs. They had to work for nothing. They were limited. The government owned their houses, their land, their everything. 430 years. And when God raised up Moses to deliver them from that mentality, he delivered them out of Egypt in just a few days. But it's going to take God 40 years to deliver Egypt out of them. See, they had gained such a victim mentality that they couldn't believe God. They couldn't believe God would do big things. They would grumble all the way to the promised land, to the point where a whole generation would have to die off. Why? Because they were victims of unfair circumstances. They had a victim mentality. So you know what God had to do? He said, I'm going to have to start a new generation. That's right. A new generation where they're not victims, but victors. And we're going to start working with your children. So this is what God said to the mothers. You're going to go, and from the people that you've been serving, the masters, they're going to give you favor, and they're going to give you everything that you should have been owed. I'm going to make that happen. They're going to give you silver and gold and regal clothes. What? Yeah, and this is what I want you to do with it. You may never have seen this, but think about it. 430 years slavery. So they're passing it down to their kids. They're saying, we'll never get out of this. We'll always be losers. We'll never get ahead. God says, oh yes, there's going to be a new generation where that's no longer the mentality. I'm going to raise them up. Joseph is the first, and he's one that was a slave and became a prince. And I'm going to have the same thing happen. We're going to take you to the promised land, and you're going to be a people that'll influence the world, because into your midst will come the Messiah. And you can't do that with a victim mentality that you have. Always remember this. You'll be able to overcome anything in your life, absolutely anything. There's only one thing you cannot rise above, and that's the quality of your thinking. If you don't think you can, that's why you ain't. I'll never have a good job. That's why you don't. My family will never get out of this pit. That's why they ain't. Because you'll never rise above the quality of your thinking. So God has to change our minds. And that's why the Bible says, put on the mind of Christ. He's not a victim. He's a victor. Even though people were trying to crucify him, he saw beyond that. And he saw the redemption of you and me. He's a victor. He's victorious over sin. And so here's what God said to Moses. And it's going to come up on the board. Would you read it with me nice and loudly? Would you read it? Go. Every woman will ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your and daughters. What God was saying is, you take the gold and the silver and the fine clothing, put it on your kids. Why? Because when we go to the promised land, I want them to know that they're no longer victims. They're not going to take that generational curse where Deuteronomy says the sins of the father could be passed on to the fourth generation. They will visit the fourth generation. Listen, the curses of our past can visit us, but I don't have to welcome them in as a part of my family. You see, the problems and the sins will visit you, but they don't need to come to live with you. So you'll have the tendencies, but you don't have to accept that. So they went into towards the promised land as a brand new generation. And out of that, God would bring the Messiah. It only took God a few days to get him out of Egypt. It took him 40 years to get Egypt out of them. I wonder what you would be like in 5 years if you just refuse from this moment on to be a victim of what people said, your past, the abuse, problems, what people did wrong, what your boss did wrong. She said, I'm sorry, God is bigger, and every step is closer to my destiny, to what God wants me to be, my purpose. I don't know how he works it out, but I'm going to keep my head about me, and instead of getting bitter, disengaged, upset, vengeful, I'm going to continue to serve God, just like Joseph did in prison. He could have felt dejected. He could have felt like everyone was against him, and I'm just a victim of all of this stuff. No, instead, he continued to serve God, and God blessed him, and that's what the Pharaoh saw that said, I want that man. What if he got dejected? What if he got vengeful and bitter? Everything would have changed, wouldn't it? Wonder what it'll be like in 5 years if we as a church would refuse to be victims to anything, and we just would serve God, whatever the circumstances are. Sure, they're unfair, but watch how I'm going to serve God in the midst of it. I wonder what we would be in 5 years. I wonder what God can do. I don't know about you, but if he did it with Joseph, I think he'll do it with us. Can you say amen to that? So God says, you put this clothes on your children, and we're going to move them towards the promised land. I thought, ah, that's what it is. Instead of us being bitter, we're just going to keep serving God. We're going to face things wisely. Why? Because God is bigger still. And I know Philippians 4:13 says, and we can do all things. We can do anything through Christ Jesus who strengthens us.
You've just heard a message entitled Joseph, Outlasting Unfair Circumstances by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Always remember this. You'll be able to overcome anything in your life, absolutely anything. There's only one thing you cannot rise above, and that's the quality of your thinking. If you don't think you can, that's why you ain't. I'll never have a good job. That's why you don't. My family will never get out of this pit. That's why they ain't. And that's why the Bible says, put on the mind of Christ. He's not a victim. He's a victor. Even though people were trying to crucify him, he saw beyond that, and he saw the redemption of you and me.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you, and have a great day in the Lord.